You know, Richard called me and wanted me to preach this morning. And he told me the circumstances, and I gladly will do that. You know, some people will ask you to do something. You say, oh, you know, I got a call 1 o'clock in the morning. Somebody needed a ride. What? I'm in between my cool sheets and relaxing. I have to get up, but I was complaining with him. Richard called. I said, let's do it. There's something about Richard that really motivates me, and just like J.J. Turner. He said, brother, whatever you do, preach the truth. Very significant. You know, today we read the paper, we hear these politicians talking about illegal immigration. Well, not too long ago, there's a couple of politicians in the Capitol building that were complaining about illegal immigration. It so happened in the background, there's a couple of Indians that were Congress women and men. They were saying, you telling me? The reason I say that, I come from an Indian background. I'd not love to tell that one. Listen to this. You know, throughout our lifetimes, we all have to make decisions, have to face realities. And about 10 years ago, I was in my office in Torrance, and this Chinese lady walks in, knocks on the door, wants to talk to me, wants to call, talk to the preacher. I said, okay. And she said, do you have any Chinese here? I said, well, from time to time, we have a song leader that comes from Culver City. His name is Mr. Leung. He said, okay. She said, for a long time, I wanted to come to a Christian church. She was a diplomat to the United Nations representing China. And she said, for a long time, I've wanted to come to the Christian church. Can you teach me about Christianity? I said, sure. And she tells me a little about the background that she grew up in Beijing when Mao Zedong was a leader in China, Mao, and the subsequent leaders. And she invited my wife and I to visit her apartment right across the street from the church building. And I saw the picture of her. She's wearing a brown kind of a tannish uniform with a little cap of the red star. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this is history right here. And she said, I want you to teach me about Christianity. And I'm thinking, my heart just beating 100 times a minute. And so she started coming to church and listening to the sermons and Bible class. And she said, I want you to give me a book in the Bible to read. I said, oh, no, what am I going to do? And so I gave her the book of John. She said, I'm going to read it. And I'm going to come back and I'm going to ask you some questions. And I said, oh my goodness, what if I don't know the answer? Really, it troubled me. And one day she says, she comes in the office in the afternoon, she knocks. She said, you know what? I said, what? I need to be baptized. She taught herself. And she said, I'm going to ask one request. Can my son videotape my baptism? Because when I go back to China, I want to be able to tell my people what they need to do to become a Christian. To this day, that's an amazing story. It's an amazing story because she came from an atheistic country, but deep down in her heart was God's providential care that you talked about this morning. There was something about God working within her that was telling her to do the right thing. Oh, not too long after she became a Christian, she discovered that she had cancer ravaging her body. You think she'd give up? She was living in Chicago. She moved to Torrance. She moved across the street at a retirement center. And what did she do? She started going with people that needed doctor's appointments. She would get on the bus with them so she could accompany them, even though she was dying of cancer. Amazing. She wanted to tell others about Christ and how to demonstrate that life. You see, this Chinese woman was truly converted. She knew what to do. Let me tell you a story about Theodore Roosevelt. Everybody has heard about Teddy, the 26th president of the United States. His favorite chapter in the Bible was Joshua chapter 1. Amazing. He was a man who was known as the Rough Rider. Always a man of action, always doing something. Well, you know, Theodore Roosevelt was a statesman. He was an explorer, an adventurer, a conservationist. He was a man about doing something. But he knew that life required character and courage. If you read the first few, 7 verses of Joshua chapter 1, God tells Joshua to be strong and courageous. We first read that, we said, okay, how can I be strong? How can I be courageous? Because all of us want to be confident and courageous. We want to be brave, don't we? Yeah. I want to be like the Apostle Paul, who said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, or who gives me the strength. I want to have that confidence. I want to be like the Apostle Paul, who said, whatever is excellent and praiseworthy, think on these things. And whatever you have heard and seen of me, put them into practice. Okay. Nobility, purity, kindness, love, put them into practice. That's how we become strong. That's how we become courageous. It's amazing during the first century, the persecution and the suffering that Christians went through. And then the Apostle John received this great revelation from heaven, from God himself, to write the book of Revelation. That book is a book of encouragement. It is a book of hope. Not discouragement, not what's going to happen to them, but it gives them hope. Who's in charge? God is. Listen to this. Theodore Roosevelt knew that he had to develop a discipline of to consider all those things that were required of what he wanted to do. He developed a discipline of daring. You know, somebody say, I dare you to do this. That's a challenge. You know, when a person dares, he decides to do something despite every difficulty and every danger that might occur. No wonder Theodore Roosevelt is well liked, because of his enthusiasm, of his intestinal fortitude to accomplish what was at hand. Think about this. What does doubt do? You know, it paralyzes one's powers, one's strength, when we doubt. Think about it. We say, oh, I can't do that. I'll never forget the first time the teacher wanted me to give a speech, or someone asked me to give a talk. I was so nervous, my jacket almost fell off. That's how nervous I was. I had doubts. Someone said, Frank, easy. Just go out there and talk. Be yourself. I said, be myself? I'm really in trouble. But we all have those experiences of doubt, disillusionment, despair. We get discouraged. But think about this. Joshua chapter 1, God is encouraging Joshua. He has been an assistant to Moses for 40 years in the wilderness wanderings. That's a desert. But when God is leading you, it defies human impossibilities. And it leads us on toward victory when God is leading us. Just think about it for a moment. Daring can mean the difference between defeat by default. We don't even try. Or a job well done. That's Theodore Roosevelt. He was able to do many things. Isn't that amazing? The things we can do as Christians. Christians have a great attitude about doing things. Even the Apostle Paul said, whatever you do, do it without grumbling. Without complaining. Just do it. That's what Nike is all about. We won. We can do it. Nike. Joshua, just like Joshua, all of us, we need to be encouraged, don't we? You know how to feel good? Somebody pat you on the back. Huh? Somebody sends you a card. Somebody say, thank you, brother. Thank you, sister. You feel good about it, don't you? Yeah. Of course you do. We read the story of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, love your enemies. Do good to those who do evil to you. What? I'm supposed to do good to the people that mistreat me? Yeah. What? And yet there's something within us that drives us on to that spiritual maturity to do the right thing. You know, all of us, just like Joshua, you remember the story back in Numbers 13 and Numbers 14, when Moses told Caleb and Joshua and 10 other members of the tribes to go into the promised land, Canaan, to scout it out and come back with a report. Oh, they came back with a great report. It's a place with milk and honey. In other words, everything's great. They brought examples of the fruit that was found there, all the harvest that they could produce. But 10 of them said, yeah, but over there, there's a lot of giants. And they have fortified cities. We can't do anything. We're just like grasshoppers. Really? Just think, can you remember God's people being called grasshoppers? Well, those 10 spies, they had doubt. They were in despair because they were afraid of losing without even trying. This is why I like the story about Gideon. Here's a man with 300 men with lamps. They're going to fight the enemy with lamps. And then they march around the fortified city of Jericho in silence. And all of a sudden, they march on the seventh day, seven times. And at the right time, they go, and the walls start falling down. Impossibilities. But there was something about Joshua that was determined to follow God's word. You know, the majority of those spies said, there we saw the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Numbers 13 and 33. That's what they were thinking. Joshua and Caleb, the two who had to dare to be different, said this in Numbers 14. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us. Give it to us. A land which flows with milk and honey. Only don't rebel against the Lord, neither fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid. Now, Joshua and Caleb understood the word of God. They could lean on the word of God because they knew that God's providential care was upon them. We can do it. I love those words. We can. We can do it. God is with us. Now, if God is with us, who else you need on your team? We're going to win. Christians should be the happiest people in the world. Why? God is with us. The Spirit of God dwells within us. Isn't that amazing? That God has given us the free gift of His Holy Spirit to indwell us. And you know what the Holy Spirit is doing? It is molding us into that image that God intended for mankind to have. Courageous, brave, confident, assured, filled with the Spirit of God within us. Now, I'm thinking for a moment. If the Spirit of God is within us, can you imagine the power that we have? The influence that we have? I'm recalling the book of Genesis, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the earth. You know the end of the story. Amazing. You see, when a person dares to dare, daring sees God, not the giants of the land. You know, we have many giants in our own that we had to face. Insecurity, disillusionment, discouragement. Those are our giants. Self-doubt. Oh, impossible. I can't do it. Those are our giants. We need to overcome those giants. They tried to disillusion us, to try to discourage us. Yeah. Darren sees the Savior, not the cities built with fortified walls. Darren sees the promises of God. Isn't that great? We can stand on the promises of God. We can be lifted because of what God said. John chapter 14. Jesus says, ask anything in my name and I'll do it. Now, what did he say? Ask for some things. No, ask anything in my name and I'll do it. Now, what is that? That's God's promise. The trouble with us, we hope so. Folks, we need to be like this Chinese lady that says, I need to be baptized. I need to put on Christ on through baptism. I'm thinking, how did this lady learn all that? You know what she did? She learned to read and concentrate on God's word. Not only did she read the Gospel of John, she read all the Gospels. She read the book of Acts. And it didn't take her long. And I'm thinking, how can this Chinese lady do this? That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking of impossibilities. She's not. She's thinking about possibilities, what she can do to become a Christian to help other people. And she was doing this while she was dying. She was dying to self. She had put on Christ and had gained the Holy Spirit to live within her. Amazing. You see, Darian sees the authority of God who is in control, not those giants of the land. You know what Darian says with Joshua and Caleb? This is what they said. Let us go up at once and possess the land, for we are able to overcome. 13 and 30. You know what it is? Sometimes doubt brings about faint-heartedness, despairing, just like the majority said, oh, no, we're just like grasshoppers. You know, grasshoppers aren't that big. They're real small. Oh, they can be dangerous, though. We're just like grasshoppers. I love to be grasshopper. Matter of fact, that's a good Indian name. Don't use it. You know what that was so courageous about Joshua? He says, we are able. You know what Darian does? Sometimes Darian stands alone in a hopeless minority. Hopeless. Somebody said, Frank, did you get upset about all these Europeans and Spaniards that came from Europe and overtook your the country of the Indian? I said, sure, I'm disappointed. But I'm a Christian today. That's the difference. You know, who am I? I'm not in the control of this world. And maybe God allowed that to happen. Because we used to bow down to totem poles. Second commandment said, thou shalt not bow down to any graven image before me. Now, what does that mean? That's what it says. Don't bow down to any graven image. I took my kids one time to a museum, and they had all these idols and so forth, and I started making a comment to this image. My son said, Papa, people are going to think you're crazy. I said, well, that's the whole idea. It's crazy to bow down to this graven image. I wanted to teach him a lesson about the graven image. Indians, maybe that's why the Lord allowed the Indians maybe to wake up. Don't have any graven image before me. Listen to this, what Hebrews chapter 13 says. Well, happy is the person that has learned to have strong confidence. Listen to this. For he has said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Even Matthew 28 says that. I will never leave you, never forsake you. What are we doing? We need to learn to stand on the promises of God. Get rid of those giants. Disillusionment, discouragement, depression, and all that. Get rid of it. Oh, I can't do it. No, you can. It took me a long time to reach where I began to understand the value of God's word. I did everything. I cleaned windows, janitor, dishwasher, you name it, painter. I did everything. People said, did that embarrass you? I said, why? Why should it embarrass me? Good work. Matter of fact, one time I approached the Dean of Pepperdine. I said, Dean, how come you don't have any Hispanics teaching here? He said, well, Frank, we can't pay that much. I said, we're used to that. Long before that, I was teaching at Pepperdine. But sometimes you got to have the confidence that God gives you. All, you know, we've been blessed by God. All of us, every single person here has been blessed, has been enriched by God in some way or another. You got some lovely people here. Oh, my goodness, lovely. Now, I especially like the elders. Because you set the standard. I've been to a lot of congregations, but the eldership here is way up there. Everybody else is, where are you? You know why? Because they're busy. They're busier than you think they are. I know them. That's how they are. You know, daring is to count upon God's presence within you, to count on His promises. That's the key. You know, a key unlocks the mystery. Once you learn to use that key to unlock it and take advantage of it, because God has given us a lot of opportunities. In school, you can do it. I remember the first day of class at Abilene Christian. I was 30 minutes late. I had no idea what was going on. I walk into the class and Dr. Raphael Smith, well, that's David Smith's father. He said, Mr. Flores, come to the front seat, the A seat. I said, oh no, the A seat. What if I don't make an A? You know, that encouraged me. Every day I carry that history book with me. I kind of memorized it. That was my book. Of all the classes, I concentrated on American history. Later on, I wrote a letter and I considered him one of the best professors I ever had in my life. I've had some great teachers, great encouragers. The American Indian Leon Leopard, Oliver Jackson, the Olympic coach, Bobby Morrow, when he tore up this cigarette commercial contract, he tore it up. I said, I want to be like him. He didn't care about the worldly success, worldly affairs, even though he was an Olympic champion, a world record holder. What was he going to do to encourage young kids? Smoke? You know, smoking tells me that those people are in a hurry to die. Why smoke? Smoke comes before burning. Anyway, that's how I feel. Listen to this. Just like Joshua, we stand at the border of the promised land. Think about it. They've battled those giants. God has told him, he's now in command to take the people and cross the Jordan River. He said, I want you to go there where all the giants that your fellow colleagues used to be and complain about. Only thing, God told him, only be strong and courageous. And so with those words, Joshua begins to venture out to cross the Jordan River. In spite of all the giants and the trouble and the doubts and around the people, he had to fight those giants that were self-seeking, self-pleasing, self-centered selfishness. He had to fight those. Those are the real giants we all need to conquer. Think about it. We need to conquer those giants. Here it is. We need to dare to be devoted to one's duty. Not everybody can be a teacher. Not everybody can be an attorney. Not everybody can be an insurance salesman. We do many things. I was a janitor once, and I thought I was the best janitor that ever lived. That's what I thought. I cleaned the brass on the doors. I painted. I did everything. One day I was fired. What? You telling me that you firing me? Yeah. You need to change your attitude. You know, I had a coach named James Morris, 1964. He's elder in the church now. He said, Frank, always strive for the impossibility. For when you fail to strive, you will fail to improve. Strive for the impossibility. For when you fail to strive, you will fail to improve. Got it. I got it. We need to separate ourselves from whatever sin we might have. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. Paul told the Philippian people, don't think so highly of yourself. Then all of a sudden, I got it. That's what I thought. And this Japanese lady named Nikki Wilkerson said, now, Frank, I'm going to pray for you. I said, yes, ma'am. And within a couple of weeks, guess what? I had a job. as a general manager of a Japanese corporation. I couldn't believe it. And she's, Frank, I'm still praying for you. Little Japanese lady, maybe 5'1". 2 weeks later, I was promoted to executive vice president of the same company. And I was doing all these things, and then the president wanted me to be in charge of a restaurant that he started. And I said, Nikki, don't pray anymore. I can't do it. Impossibilities. I'm going to tell you something. Whatever people ask you to do, do it double. Do double. That when it's all said and done, they're going to want you back. Oh, yeah, I got the job back as a janitor. I was happy because I told the company, that's not my cup of tea. But because of that, I was able to visit here when J.J. Turner was preaching. I was inspired.
Whoa.
Then he left, and I heard Richard. I said, whoa, man, this is great. I want to come to Newland. In the background, I'm watching all these people, and I'm watching the elders as they work. You know, you have to be devoted. You got to get that away from your mind and your soul. Okay, we got rid of the giants. We've come to the Jordan River. It's harvest time. And the torrent is coming rapidly. And you look at it, we think it's impossible to cross. You know, even they tell you today, if you go to Arizona and Nevada and it's raining, be careful of those flash floods. And they're not that deep. But the Jordan River is very deep. You know, the crossing the Jordan can be a spiritual and a psychological test. It can be. But God says, cross it. Go. There's no bridges. There's no dry land where they can cross easy. And God is telling Joshua, cross it. Take your people over there. What are we thinking? What are we going to do? The Jordan is so much more difficult than being in the desert. It is untrodden, it's treacherous. Matter of fact, in Joshua chapter 3, verse 15, the Bible says, it overflows all its bank at the times of harvest. There's no promise of a passageway. It is a raging torrent. It terrifies, it intimidates. What are we thinking? You know, sometimes we have to cross over our Jordan in a psychological way. Many of us have surgeries. You know, my doctor said, Frank, you're going to have eye surgery. Really? I said, because when I was a little kid, I was hit with a bat in this left eye. And your cataracts are beginning to form. You need surgery. I'm thinking, I'm not going to let a doctor get hold of my eye. No way. I don't want them to practice on me. That's what I'm thinking. She said, don't worry about it. It'll take about 15 minutes. What? And you'll be able to see what's going on. I said, let's do it. I got over it. You know what? It took 15 minutes. It took longer for me to fall asleep, my body-wise. A few days later, I can see. That's why I had to take off my glasses, because I can see far away. I can't see right up close, but I can see far away. So you're in the back. I can see you. But isn't that amazing? We think of the impossibilities not to be successful, but we ought to think of the impossibilities to be victorious. You know, sometimes these physical factors make it impossible to obey God and trust Him. But the Lord said, arise and go over the Jordan, you and all the people. Verse 2, chapter 1. No wonder Theodore Roosevelt liked this chapter. It's an encouraging chapter. It is a chapter of fortitude, intestinal activity. He wanted to do something, and he did a lot for the country. God told him, go over this Jordan. That's all he told him, go over. You know, sometimes we want to be cautious. We got to consider it and got to deliberate for several days. No, you go over like I told you. Go do it now. Don't do like me. I tell my wife, she said, you going to do it today? I said, no, why do it today when I can do it tomorrow? She said, no, do it now. It's better if you do it now, that way you don't have to worry about it. Makes sense? Makes sense? Listen to this. I love this particular verse, chapter 3. And as they bore the ark, were come down into the Jordan, and the feet of the priest that bore the ark dipped in the brim of the water. You know, this put the feet right at the edge of that torrential river that was rushing down. And you know what happened? The waters which came down from above stood and rose up a heap, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground. Chapter 3, verse 15 through 17. Isn't that amazing? Can you imagine just stepping on the edge of that river and it stops? That's impossible. For us, it seems like it. But yet they obeyed God, and what happened? They crossed the Jordan River with all the torrential rushing that it had, that intimidation that it brought, and they crossed over on moist ground. No, it says dry ground. Dry. Crossed over. Isn't that amazing how God works? That's the discipline of daring. To be strong when seemingly impossible. When it stares you in your face, what are you going to do? To be very courageous means you're obedient to the commands. Be courageous. Obey the commands. Who would have thought that this communist lady, a former atheist, would want to become a Christian? And she came to the Church of Christ to be taught that eventually taught herself. That's an amazing story. Her name was Sharon Wayne. She had a first long Chinese name. She said, just call me Sharon. So I did. Listen to this. Okay, we crossed the Jordan River. Now we got to go defeat Jericho. Oh no, the city with all these thick walls. Why do there has to be impossibility after impossibility in our pathway to be victorious? Why all the impossibilities? Do we have to go through this over and over again? That was the question. There's the fear of the giants, the fury of the Jordan River, and now the fortress of Jericho? You got to be kidding. Listen to this. This is another key. Daring is always faith-based. Daring is always faith-based. Whatever you do is based on faith. All of us who get in a car, we have faith the car is going to start. We burn our way home, no problem. Or maybe go to a restaurant. We believe that. You know, there's something special about attending church, assembly, worshiping God. Be honest with you, I can't wait to Sunday. When all the people get together and take the Lord's emblems of faith of the memorial feast. It's exciting. You know why? Because when we take up those emblems, it recalls us, it brings us back to that day that Jesus suffered on the cross for us. We should have been on the cross, but he took our place. Isn't that exciting? That we do that to remember, and every time we do that, we get life in us. The life that keeps on giving, drinking of the fruit of the vine. No wonder Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. We get our sustenance from the vine, from Jesus, who gives us that courage, who gives us that strength, who gives us that assurance, that confidence. That's what he does. Paul knew the pressure of the impossibility. Listen to this. That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead, who delivered us from a great death and does deliver, in whom we trust that he will deliver us. Later on, that's in 2 Corinthians 1:9. Later on, he would testify. He would say this, we're troubled on every side. Hey, that's us. Yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. 2 Corinthians 4:8. Yeah. He went through the same things we go through. Why? Because the Apostle Paul knew that overcoming with the sustaining power of God and the indwelling Christ will be successful. That's what verse 8 and 9 says, chapter 1 of Joshua. Yeah. So we walk by faith, not by sight. Oh. Those people that went to the promised land at first to spy, They were convinced by sight. Oh, look at those giants. Oh, no. Some people perhaps died crossing the Jordan River. Oh, no. Look at the torrential torrents that's coming down. We'll never be able to cross it. No. Look at that fortified city. We won't be able to. Look at the army that we have. We only have lamps and some trumpets and all these shouting that we do. That's all we have. You know something? At Jericho, it was the silent march of the host for several days. And then the shout of faith that brought the victory. Isn't that amazing? The shout of faith brought victory. Folks, we're the happiest people in the world. We are. We better be. You know why? Because we've already won the war. We go through many battles, but we've already won. Isn't that great? I don't know how you feel, but I love when Olympians win that gold medal. I don't care who wins, but they won. They've done their best. Even the last person, they've done their best. My favorite runner of all time is an American Indian by the name of Billy Mills, when he won the 10,000-meter run in Tokyo, Japan at the Olympics. He was in fifth place. And all of a sudden, you could hear that announcer, the American announcer, here comes Billy Mills, picking up the codes and laying them down. He just passed Babuti, and he wins. Ooh, I was so happy. Because he represented the American Indian. Today, he's a successful chairman of the board of Indian Foundation. Let me close by saying this. There's discipline in daring, because we have to discern one's duty, one's responsibility. You know what to do. You know what you ought to do. Yeah, you do. If you can encourage people, encourage them. You can send a card, send a card. If you can call them, call them. To do God's bidding, that's daring. To delight in his presence and in his promises. To discover his power of his word. That's what we need to do in summary. And when you do these things, you become victorious. I still love that encouragement from that elder, James Morris, when he said, strive for the impossible. For when you fail to strive, you will fail to improve. What did Joshua do? He strove the impossibility to go into the promised land with good news, positive thinking. When he crossed the Jordan River, he didn't think of the impossibilities, but he strove to be victorious by what seemed impossible to become possible. And then to destroy the city-walled city of Jericho. That's amazing. Folks, if you hadn't become a Christian like that little Chinese lady, today's the day. The water's ready. The garments are ready. You need to be buried with him in water baptism, Colossians 2:12. You need to put on Christ in baptism, Galatians 3:26 and 27. You know why? Because when you put on Christ through baptism and you bury with him in that likeness of his death, Romans 6:3, 4, and 5, you come out of those baptismal waters a new creation in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17. A new creation, brand new, squeaky clean. All your guiltiness has gone away. Now listen to this. Hebrews 8:12 says, he forgives our sins. Listen to this. And remembers them no more. No wonder Christians are happy. No wonder Christians are so cheerful and enthusiastic and have that intentional fortitude of confidence, because they have learned there's worse than impossibility, God makes it possible. Who would have thought that God would give us his free gift of his Holy Spirit in order, when we stand before the judgment seat of God, he'll see us robed with Christ. Come on over, brother. Come on over, sister. So if you haven't been baptized into Christ, today's the day. If you need prayers of the congregation, today's the day. Get your life organized. Get it right. There's nothing better than to walk out of the doors with a clear conscience. Tell you what, when I first walked in the building, we were so cool. I said, this must be what heaven's like. Nice and cool. Get out of that heat. Now, if you're not ready, Are you willing to jump into a volcano with all that heat? Volcano. That's not hell, but I'm thinking that's a good representative of hell. Folks, today's the day. Water's ready. If you need to make a decision for the Lord in whatever case might be, once you let it be known, as you can come forward and let the elders know, or myself know, what you need to do today. If that's the calling of your heart today, why don't you do it before it's too late, as we stand and sing.